Wow, this is very impressive. When you look out and see 150 men and a couple token ladies out here to celebrate this Mass as we begin our morning of recollection, as we try to respond to the radical call of Christ for conversion, especially for men, for either your single men or married husbands and fathers, welcome to our morning of recollection. So we begin this Mass. It is offered for you and for your intentions, for you and your family. So we pray that the fruits of this Mass may be very beneficial to you, to your spouse, and to your children. What I'd like to do for a few moments this morning is talk about St. Joseph and six qualities of St. Joseph, and maybe give us a little reflection on each of these to apply to your spiritual life as the head of your family, the spiritual leader of your home. Now, the Catechism says that when we think about the saints, we should do three things. Number one, we should admire what God has done in and through them, all the graces and all the gifts that the Lord gave to the saints. Number two, we should imitate their virtues. And number three, invoke their intercession. Whether it be St. Joseph or St. Francis or the Blessed Mother, this is what we should always do when we think about the saints. Admire what the Lord has done in them, imitate their virtues, and invoke their help, invoke their intercession. When we take a look at St. Joseph, I'd like to give you six qualities of St. Joseph. And it's helpful to use memory techniques, right, to use acrostic tools. So I'm going to use the word Joseph, which is six letters, and give you one idea for every letter in his name. The J in Joseph stands for what the Scripture calls him, the just man. That is what the J stands for. Joseph is the just man. What does Scripture mean when it says that someone is a just man? Well, it means he's holy. He is righteous in the eyes of God. And when you look at other parts of Scripture that refer to a righteous man or a just man, it means a man of honor, integrity, charity, a man of virtue, honesty, a man of good character. And so St. Joseph is called the righteous one, the just man. And he is called the greatest saint next to our Blessed Mother. There's no saint that would have been closer to Our Lady or to the Lord than St. Joseph. So he is so close to our Lord and our Blessed Mother. And St. Thomas Aquinas believes that no grace was ever given to any other saint that was not also given to St. Joseph because of his important role as the virginal spouse of our Blessed Mother and as the foster father to the Son of God. So we get grace in accordance to our office. And he had the great office of being the spouse of Our Lady and the foster father of the Son of God. So he is an example of being that just man, that holy man, that righteous man. And so you should ask yourself this morning, are you responding to the call to holiness? Vatican II said that everyone is called to holiness, not just to goodness, but to holiness. See, there's a difference between being a good father and a holy father, a good husband and a holy husband. See, today is the challenge to holiness, not just to goodness. So are you being faithful to your vocation, either as a single man in the world or as a husband, as a father? How are you responding to the graces that the Lord wants to give you? Are you growing in virtue, in good character, in integrity, in honesty, in the virtues that the Lord wants you to have in imitating St. Joseph? The second letter in Joseph is O, and it stands for his obedience, the obedience of St. Joseph. He was always obedient to the will of God. Once he knew that God wanted him to take Mary into his home and marry her, once the angel said, "Have no fear," Joseph completely and thoroughly obeyed the Lord. He even had to help Mary and Joseph, Jesus flee into Egypt. without hesitation, as soon as he was revealed to him that he had to escape King Herod, he obeyed the will of God, but without hesitation, packed up everything and went into Egypt to save Jesus from the destruction of King Herod. And we don't have any evidence in Scripture that St. Joseph ever complained about these things. Even when Our Lady was almost 9 months pregnant, having to leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem to register for the census, we see the obedience of St. Joseph. When he had to pack up quickly and take Mary and Jesus into Egypt, he did so with this willing obedience, this abandonment to the will of God. And so he had to be this protector of Our Lady and the child Jesus. So they had to flee into Egypt. He had to find work. He had to live in a foreign country. All these challenges and difficulties that St. Joseph had, he willingly accepted them with this wonderful spirit of obedience. And when we think of the flight into Egypt, we should, just as a little aside, sort of try to figure out just how old was St. Joseph when all this happened. If some of the paintings and images have St. Joseph almost like a grandfather rather than as a father. And yet Scripture always refers to the man called Joseph, not the old man called Joseph. See, when it talks about old men like Simeon, that's a different word. But for Joseph, he's called the man named Joseph. In the catacombs of Priscilla, one of the most ancient images of Joseph is without a beard. Again, showing that he was not as old as some people make him out to be. Well, where do we get this idea that Joseph was so old? Well, we can blame some of the apocryphal writings, some of the writings that were written in the 2nd and 3rd century. Because one of them has Joseph being 89 years old when he was betrothed to the Blessed Mother, and 111 when he died. I don't know about you, but I think King Herod would have caught up with him. Okay? The Scriptures did not say that the Blessed Mother wheeled him through the desert in a wheelchair. Okay? It was St. Joseph who had to do the walking, and he had Mary on the donkey. And so he was probably much younger and stronger than we give him credit. Obviously, he was older than the Blessed Virgin. Our Lady was 14 or 16. Joseph probably in his mid-20s or maybe early 30s. But so we see this obedience of St. Joseph. And so we can ask yourself the question this morning, you know, how obedient are you to the will of God in your own life, to following the Ten Commandments, to following the teachings of the Church, to following the Magisterium, especially the teachings of the Church on Humanae Vitae, on the issues of marriage and family. The next letter is S, and it stands for the silence of St. Joseph. His silence, his interior life, his prayer life. What's interesting, there are no recorded words of St. Joseph in the entire Bible. He never spoke that's recorded in the New Testament. No words of his are ever written down. So there's always this theme of the silent presence of St. Joseph. He is that strong, silent type. Even his death is wrapped in silence. It's not mentioned in Scripture. We don't even know where his tomb is. Some of the saints have said that at the end times we will discover the tomb of St. Joseph. Has been one of the traditions. But he was a man of deep interior life, a man of prayer, a man of silence. He was that silent worker, that carpenter, that craftsman, who always lived in the presence of God, who lived the present moment. He suffered in silence, as we see in Scripture. So we can ask ourselves, well, ask yourself, how is your silence in your life? Do you make time for prayer? Do you make time to spend before the Blessed Sacrament? Maybe 1 hour a week in Eucharistic adoration. How is your interior life? How is your prayer life? Have you read the book, The Soul of the Apostolate, which talks about the importance of the spiritual life? Matthew Kelly, a great Catholic author, says, a person only becomes great when they begin to spend time in silence and prayer. That's when a person becomes great in the eyes of God. It is only in silence that God speaks to us, in our prayer life, in our interior life, in that quiet time before the Blessed Sacrament. Prayer just doesn't just happen. You have to make time for prayer. You have to set aside time in prayer and silence. So ask yourself that question. Do you have enough time every day, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day, in prayer and solitude and silence? And then do you imitate Saint Joseph? Do you mortify your speech? Have you gotten rid of the foul language and the bad words? Have you gotten rid of using God's name in vain? Gotten rid of lying, gossiping, backbiting? These things should all be removed from our life, and we're going to imitate the virtues of Saint Joseph, that holy, that just, that man of prayer and silence and interior life. The fourth letter is E, and that stands for the example. Saint Joseph was the example to our Lord Jesus. Imagine that God chose him to be the teacher of Christ, the foster father of the Son of God. So he taught Christ by his words, by his examples. That's why he's called the world's greatest father. So as the Catechism says, he was the father of Jesus in every way except for physical generation. So imagine the great choice that God made in picking Saint Joseph as the foster father of the Son of God. If you go out with your wife for a few hours, you don't just pick anybody to be the babysitter of your children, right? Nor would God choose somebody lightly or carelessly. He would choose the very best to be the one that would raise the Son of God. He was the educator of Christ. He taught him carpentry. He taught him the human virtues. I'm sure Jesus picked up the mannerisms and the qualities of his foster father, Saint Joseph. And so you can ask yourself, well, how are you doing as an example? Are you giving good example to your wife, to your children? There's a saying that our example shouts so loudly that we cannot hear what a person says. That's how powerful example is. So how are you doing giving an example to your children and teaching them the faith? And studies have shown that children get their idea, their concept of God the Father from their own natural father. So if you as a father are kind, loving, merciful, forgiving, then your children will have a much better and easier time seeing God as loving, merciful, kind, and forgiving. So again, how is your example to your wife and children? Do you take seriously your call to holiness, to study your faith? This is the year of faith. Do you listen to educational Catholic CDs when you're driving into work, commuting? Do you read the scriptures? Do you go on a retreat once a year, maybe one day a year? Are you the spiritual leader of the home? Don't leave it up to your wife to be the spiritual person. You're called to be the spiritual head of your family. Number five, the letter P stands for Saint Joseph is our patron saint. He's a patron saint of all fathers, husbands, of all workers. He's a patron saint of a happy death because he died in the arms of Jesus and Mary. We should always pray to Saint Joseph for a happy death. What is a happy death? It's a well-prepared death, to die in the grace of God after fulfilling God's will in your life, by becoming all that you are called to be. As Matthew Kelly says, to have become the best version of yourself, spiritually, intellectually, physically, to become the person that God wants you to be. And so that is a happy death, somebody who dies in the friendship of God, in the state of grace, you know, with the holy sacraments, in a well-prepared and holy death. So we pray to Saint Joseph every day for a good and holy death. That's why we say the rosary every day, because we want 50 prayers every time we say the rosary. Pray for us now and at the hour of our death. The most important point, the hour of our death. Saint Joseph is also the patron saint of selling houses, right? It's become very popular because you've heard the story of Aunt Selma who bought a little statue of Saint Joseph, buried him a foot below the earth on a Wednesday facing eastward, and she sold her house. Okay? I think that's a little superstitious, so I would recommend, you know, get a statue of Saint Joseph, place it, you know, right next to your image of the Sacred Heart that you had enthroned in the house. And then pray a novena to St. Joseph to sell your house. You don't have to suffocate the little guy. Okay? So you can make a novena and ask St. Joseph for help to find a job or to find a new job or to sell your house or to find a house. So he's also the patron saint of the entire Catholic Church. He is the guardian and protector of the Church. And the document by John Paul II, Guardian of the Redeemer, says that everything that St. Joseph was for Christ, he is for the Church. He was the guardian, the protector, the provider for Jesus. Therefore, he is the guardian, protector, and provider for the mystical body of Christ, which is his Church. So ask yourself the question, is St. Joseph truly your patron saint? Is he your role model and example as a husband, as a father, as a worker, to see the dignity of work, to work well at your job, to do a full day's work for a full day's pay? Do you pray to St. Joseph for a happy death? And will you also pray to St. Joseph to be a protector of your child's innocence? See, right now, it's so difficult for husbands and fathers because so much filth comes into the home through the television, through the computer, through movies and things like that. So you have to be the protector of your child's innocence, and don't let those things come into your family. Make sure you have the blocks on the internet so nothing bad can come into your home. Make sure you are careful in what's allowed to be watched on the television in your home. See, that's your role as a husband, as a father, to protect the holiness and the innocence of your family. And lastly, the last letter is H. And it stands for St. Joseph as a husband, as a helper, as a helpmate of our Blessed Mother. He was that loving, gentle, kind spouse, so considerate, so affectionate, so caring, so self-sacrificing. And that's what true love is. True love is self-giving, self-donating. It is self-sacrificial. If you want to see the best example of a true spouse, you look up at the crucifix, because Jesus is the bridegroom and the Church is his bride. That's how much Jesus loved his bride, the Church, willing to sacrifice, to give of himself for his beloved spouse, the Church. So I encourage you to work together as a team with your spouse. Remember in high school, they always taught us team stands for together, everyone achieves more. When you work together with your wife, you can do so much more. A great book to read is Courtship After Marriage by the great Zig Ziglar. He's so big into management and sales, but he's also a devout Christian and a great family man. And so in his book, he uses the example of the Belgian horse. And he says that studies have shown that the Belgian horse can individually pull 8,000 pounds of weight. But when it's harnessed together with another horse and trained and pulling in the same direction, together instead of 16,000 pounds, they can pull 32,000 pounds. See, it's quite an image for us to realize that if you're working with your spouse, pulling the family in the same direction, you can do so much more. So you can ask yourself the question, are you helping your spouse get to heaven? Are you helping your children get to heaven? Are you pulling the family in the same direction as your spouse and trying to lead the children and the family closer to the Lord? So on this morning of recollection, we ask the intercession of Saint Joseph, the just man, the obedient man, the man of silence and prayer, the great example, our patron of husbands and fathers and workers, and the helper of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So may Saint Joseph intercede for all of you to help you become the saints that God wants us to be. When we look out today and see these 150 men, it means that there is hope for America, right? You know, despite all the political situations that we have and all the immorality and all the evil in modern society, when you look around and see your brothers that are here today to give up that time to grow closer to the Lord, there is hope for our country and hope for the church.